3.3 Nigeria Info. Lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you for joining us on the Morning Cross Drive from 5 a.m. We're being together, talking for development here on Nigeria Info. I'm Sheriff Quadri. It's nice to know that you're there. We're streaming live on Facebook and we're also on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch us live on those two platforms. For those who've been with us since 7:30 on YouTube and on Facebook, we say thank you for always being there. Need I remind you that a Beg to Differ debate competition semi-finals is still on? That's right. It was a great, great debate yesterday. It was awesome. I was so proud. I was so, so proud of the debaters. Today, we see the second semi-final and then the final much later in the week. Hey, Lagos, you've got a great, great, great week ahead of us on a Beg to Differ debate competition. Comes up on Hard Facts 4 to 5, starting 4 p.m. and ending 5 p.m. If you missed out on the debate, you can go watch them again on our website, nigeriainfo.fm. That's right, nigeriainfo.fm. You can watch again, or our YouTube channel, Nigeria Info 99.3. Now, let's get started. Okay, so this morning we're talking prisoners' right to education. That's our focus today. And I have in the studio here with me right now my guests, a lovely lady, and a very, very gentle man. Joke Aladisomi is here. She's Executive Director, Center for Legal Support. And, of course, Inmate Rehabilitation, CELSA. Joke, it's good to see you again.
Good morning, Sherry. Good to see you too.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Is it a minute, right?
Yes,
you've been
yes,
here,
yes.
What was that, 2 years ago or last year?
I think that was last year.
Last year, right?
Yes.
How has it been since then?
Fine, great. We've made quite good progress, so it's been really good. Thank
you. Awesome. I like checking in because it gives us a touch. It keeps us in touch with what is going on with confined Nigerians who, you know, for one reason or the other, couldn't, you know, their freedom is not within their capabilities. So it's been taken away. So we'd like to, you know, touch base with you. I'll come to you much later on. Let me bring on Kelvin. Kelvin is here with us. He is an author. He was a former inmate who would be sharing his experience with us on the show. Kelvin, can I have your book? Let me just have this. Oh, wow. Lovely. Oh, no, not Kelvin. Sorry.
Valentine.
I beg your pardon. Idris Valentine Sonny. Idris Valentine Sonny. I don't know why this combination, though. Idris Valentine Sonny. I mean, why the what? Idris Valentine Sonny.
I just like to stand out among the crowd.
Yeah. Please adjust that mic. Let them hear you very well. Where did Valentine come in?
Well, I was born February 14, and as a Catholic,
yeah,
it was my birthday.
You were a Catholic,
also, yeah.
Ah,
so I choose Idris Valentine, is a saint,
Sonny,
and then I choose it as my baptismal name also.
Move close to the mic first, eh?
Despite I was born on February 14th,
yeah.
So, I adopt the name,
okay,
at my baptismal name,
okay,
and also I since secondary school. Yeah. That's why my parents don't they don't allow, you know, from a Muslim home.
Yeah.
Where, you know,
there's Valentine nothing like Valentine. Yeah.
So, but I love it.
Okay.
And I have been.
So on your own, you just adopted it.
So, when I become.
When you change to Christianity.
Yeah, I've, apart from age of 18.
Okay.
Above,
okay.
So I.
You just took the name.
Yes. So and I took it when I got converted and.
Oh wow! Okay, now I understand. Now we can explain better.
Thank you.
Idris has got two books. If you're watching on Facebook and on YouTube, let me show it to you. Which camera which camera are we using? This one beside me. Let's use this one beside me here. You can see this is Idris's book. What's this? Turning Adversities into Possibilities.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting stuff. Yeah. And there's another one here, Gifted but Caged. A true life story. Interesting. Okay. Well, we'll come to these two books in a moment. Let me just keep them here right in front of me. But Joke, let me come to you. Your organization, what you do is to see to the rehabilitation of inmates. How far have we gone since the last time we spoke on this? Well, what are the things that, you know, CELSA has done or is up to?
All right. Thank you very much. you already know. So like you said, we're into the rehabilitation of inmates. Although we started off with legal support, and we discovered that there's a huge gap with regards to rehabilitating inmates. So we decided to go beyond just providing legal support.
Yeah.
Because we believe that if we are fighting for the inmates to come out, there is need for them to be rehabilitated and be reformed enough to join the society, which is why we came on board, and which is why we're doing what we're doing in TELSA. So we've been able to wrap up our work around changing the lives of inmates through legal support, education and life skills. And we've emphasized so much on education because we noticed that that's a section that has actually been ignored when it comes to the inmates. A lot of persons do not know that inmates actually write exams. So they write exams, they write exams, they write JAMB, they write GCE, and many of them struggle through it. That's because they just do not have the assistance that is required. So most times what is obtainable, what is being done in the prison, is you find the inmates teaching themselves. So like I always say, it's like you seeing an inmate who is facing a murder charge teaching further maths. And what happens is you have the inmates writing it more than, some write three, four, five
multiple times,
right? And I'm like, why should it be so difficult for somebody who wants to live a better and a purposeful life? So since the last time we've met, we've intensified our virtual class. So we have an inmate virtual learning platform where we try to teach the inmate and prepare them for exams. And it's been so wonderful. Just last week, we got the news that one of the inmates that's we've actually worked with had 313 in JAMB. And we were just screaming, like, what? Like, it gave us, like, this sense of fulfillment, this sense of we are doing what is right. And that's, like, the highest score they've ever had in that prison. That's, like, the highest score. And let me also quickly mention that in December, we commissioned a 21-user library at the Koyi Correctional Facility, Ultra Modern, with e-library session and very standard. I don't always like to miss
very standard.
Very standard. Beautiful and standard, right? Yeah. And that contributed significantly to the good result in the JAMB. As a matter of fact, about 25 of them wrote the exams, and more than 15 of them scored above 200.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
Yeah, and they spoke about how the library has been of help to them because now they have the resources that they need and all of that. And yes, just by tomorrow, I don't know if I should quickly add that.
Yeah,
we are commissioning a mobile library for the correctional facilities and the juvenile centers.
Okay.
So
In Lagos.
So the mobile library is going to be... let me also add that the prisons actually have libraries, but we are starting this because we know that most of the materials in these prisons are outdated. Many of them do not have, maybe they have old books, and that's contributing to their struggle. So the mobile library is to support the libraries in the prison and ensure that they have the right materials that can enhance mind transformation.
When inmates write exams and they pass, but they're still in the prisons, what then happens? For those who have written JAMB, they passed, what then happens?
Okay, so let me say that one of the good thing about the exam is it gives them hope.
Okay.
It makes them have something to look forward to. And also because we have a very large large persons awaiting trial who cannot really tell when they are coming out of the prison. Some of them, you can wake up in the prison today and you get to court and your matter gets struck out, and then you have to you're back to your back to freedom and all of that. So those exams help them to continue with their lives. And then the GCE exam, GCE certificates do not have expiry dates.
That's right.
So when they have they can always go back to school. As a matter of fact, for the inmate that scored 313, he was telling me he wanted to do international relations and diplomacy. You know, it gives them something to look out for. To me, any inmate that wants to embark or that wants to pursue education in prison, even if the person is charged for armed robbery, even if the person is charged for stealing, if the person can at a point think about it and say, oh, I think I want to take a course while in prison. I think I want to write exams while in prison. It means the person is beginning to see that there's a particular, I can actually be positive. I can be good. I can be more productive than the line of for whatever thing that must have brought me here. That's my organization, TELSA. We actually pay very close attention to the educations of inmates because we know that is one sure way of helping them to contribute to the society positively.
Indeed. But I want to quickly dwell more on the libraries at prisons because that's why we're here, access to education. How many, do you have an idea of how acceptable or how much inmates have have endorsed or embraced library and reading and education from the last time you were here to this very moment? Has there been any significant increase in the number of inmates who have embraced education?
A whole lot. As in a whole lot. Like when we were trying to do monitoring and evaluation to see how the impact of the library we've done, and because they have a login book at the library just for us to be able to assess how many persons use it per day, how many persons use it in a week and all of that. And then we saw that in a day, over 50 of them use it.
In one day.
Wow. So they have, if you get to the library, it's always full. As a matter of fact, when I heard of the GC, I also did not mention the result of the GC results. Okay. More than 65% of them did extremely well. And they all, when you come to the, because they just want something to get away from what is happening. So they are always reading. There's a feedback we got with regards to the library that we made. And the inmate said, the books has really helped me to get away from the negative thoughts in the prison. It has helped me to learn. It has helped me to gain more knowledge, which is like, you know, the most significant thing for us. And in our last visit to the female prison, and we told them, we're extending our virtual class. So by June, we're extending our virtual class to the female prison and the medium prison. We'll talk more about that as time goes on.
Right.
And we told them, we're starting our virtual class here, and they were all shouting and screaming. They were happy, they were excited. And they told me, they've been struggling with maths, they've been struggling with this. So it gave me like a sense of, this is a need, a major need that should not be ignored.
That's right.
We cannot say it because these people are criminals, or I don't even like using the word criminals, right? Because these people are inmates. The funny thing is, the general public always thinks that whoever is in prison is a criminal, which is actually a very, very wrong notion, really. You know, and then we can't say, because these people are in prison, why are they there? If they've not committed a crime, then why are they there? Why?
We just abandon them.
You still have to pay. Sheriff, let me quickly mention, there's a particular fact that the society is missing.
What's that?
And that's the fact that 95% of inmates eventually come back to the prison. Most people do not. They eventually come back to the society. 95%.
They return to the society.
So whether you ignore them for only God knows when, they will come back. So the question is, are we expecting an inmate who is unreformed to join us?
A better person.
Or you want an inmate who is a better person to join us. And that's why we need to start paying close attention, actually, to the rehabilitation of prison inmates.
I need to quickly go back to something you mentioned earlier before the break about mobile library. How does that work?
Okay, so let me also mention that it's the first of its kind for the female, for correctional centers in Nigeria. Oh. It's the first of its kind.
Great.
And the way it works is it's a bus service library. Okay. And we came up with a trolley share because we are aware that the bus cannot get into the premises.
Okay.
And we're also very much aware that the inmates cannot come outside the bus.
Yeah,
so what we came up with trolley shelves. So the bus itself is constructed like to hold books, and then it also carries trolley shelves that are 6 feet, 3 feet long and 4 feet, I don't know how to say that, but then it carries trolley shelves. So the trolley shelves are stuck up with the books, and the books are moved into the prison. And then we've been given some spaces where the shelves have been arranged like a library, and the library will be there for 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, we pick it up to the next library and to the juvenile, and over like that, just to support whatever materials they've had. And let me also say that this is just, a foundation of it. Our long-term goal is actually to be able to set up like the same library we have in Ikoyi Prison in the other correctional center.
Indeed.
But we're starting off with this.
Indeed. Let me come to Valentine. I'm going to stick to Valentine because you independently adopted that name. So we're going to go with that. I'm interested in your story.
Thank you.
How did it start? What happened? How did you find yourself in prison?
It all started in 2007.
Okay.
And it was just one beautiful Monday morning, and I saw some group of men who come to call me. I know them.
Okay.
I was born in this vicinity.
Yeah.
So they are the security, they act as a security.
The vigilante of some sort.
Yes, of sort. Mm. So they said, the leader wants to see me.
Okay.
I said, okay. So I went there that fateful morning. And on getting there, they took me to a separate room where someone was in this pool of blood. And They ask if I know this person.
Okay.
And I said, I couldn't really recognize him.
Okay.
So, but when I was I mentioned his name.
Okay.
As soon as I mentioned his name, I was given the beating of my life. I was beaten without giving a chance to even know what is going on.
Mm.
You know, these are people who knows me, who knows my family.
Mm.
We are very popular. They knows. So all what I can remember is my hands were tied on a pole, on an electric pole.
Okay.
You know, my face were disfigured, bruised. I passed out.
Mm.
So waking up, I woke up in a police cell.
Mm.
So waking up, I heard a voice at the door. It was like the valley of our community.
Okay.
Was like, it's going to destroy me.
Where was this exactly?
2007.
What community? What community?
At Ikorodu.
Ikorodu, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
and the ballet, you saw the ballet and he threatened that he would destroy you.
Yeah, I saw him. Because the truth is, he mentioned my late father.
Okay.
I think there is a conflict between my dad and the late ballet who were there then, and that result that they were locked up. My dad would petition them. Then I was a very small boy, you know. So I grew up knowing that there was that conflict between them. These are two best friends, and they become worst enemies.
Valentine, hold on. We're going to take this break. This is an interesting story. We'll take this short break, yeah? When we return, we'll continue with Valentine Lagos. You have to stay here with us, all right? Valentine's story is interesting. I am not kidding you. We'll get to it, but we need to take this short break. We'll be back.
In Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
And we're back on the Crossfire 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're live from Itimiang's studios here on the island. 8:36 is the time. Lagos, thank you for tuning in. I have in the studio with me Joke Aladesomi, and of course Idris Valentine. Sonny, who was sharing his story before the break. Idris, let's continue with your story. So you met the ballet and the ballet threatened to deal with you. What then happened?
After then, I spent some couple of weeks, like 3 weeks precisely, before we transferred to the state CID.
But what were you accused of doing?
I was accused that I brought in people to our community to attack and rob a woman whom I well know, are well known to me and my family also. I know them. We
were
very close.
Okay.
So that was how they... But the truth is, if you look at it from that dimension, there is more to it.
Okay.
As in, there is a more conspiracy to it being... I'm just a victim of the circumstance of what I know nothing about.
Okay.
So I was charged with... conspiracy to commit armed robbery and armed robbery and others at large, that I have to produce those people who on Sunday night who came to attack this woman who just closed from her shop, and then some people do away with her belongings. So
you were tried, you were taken to court, you were tried.
Yeah, I was tried for 4 years then in 2000.
And you were in prison all through? No bail, nothing?
Yes, no bail, nothing.
All through the trial period?
All the trial period. And in 2011, I was sentenced to death by hanging.
What? Excuse me?
I was sentenced to death by
You
hanging.
Were sentenced to death?
By hanging, yeah.
Did anybody die during the incident?
No. You know, the maximum punishment for a capital offense like armed robbery is a death sentence.
Death sentence.
Yeah.
And you were sentenced to death by hanging?
Yeah.
So what happened when you were sentenced?
Oh my God. I can't forget that day. It was March 3rd, 2011 when I was sentenced, and it seems my whole world is crashing over me. And, you know, I was just standing like a lamb that was going to be slaughtered. I was moved from the former place I was to the maximum prison. And the real journey of life started.
What was life like inside the prison as an inmate awaiting to be executed? What was life like? You had separate cell, a separate stuff from others, right?
Sure, sure.
Those on death row
are always different from the normal.
What was life like as a death row inmate? What was it like?
You know, it's just like, seriously, I don't know how to describe this. It's hell. It's hell waking up in that state of mind every day of your life without no date, no time, you know. You know, the truth is, when I entered there, I saw people have spent 25 years, 30 years on death row. And as young as I was in my, at a pivotal age of 20 years of age.
Oh, you were 20?
Yes, I was 20. And I was like, if these people have spent this kind of years here and some who have died in the process and those who are executed, I was like, you know, there's no future anymore. I was broken.
You gave up?
In fact, at first, I gave up. I resort to suicide.
You wanted to kill yourself?
Yeah.
Did you attempt it?
Yes, I do. I do.
What did you do?
You know, in prison, there is, when you get in, you're given a blanket.
Okay.
And that's the only, in fact, that's the only property I own in the world, a blanket and a ration plate, you know? And I look at it, my frustration, I'm frustrated. The trauma, everything was like, what's going on with my life? With what I don't know anything about. The blanket that's supposed to be, you know, there's this cold prison weather that is, you know, at night, you know, the only window we have is these big iron bars, you know, everything, both cold. So I was like, the blanket that's supposed to be...
To cover yourself.
Become an accomplice to accomplish my suicide. So I tried to make something out of it. But that night I have an encounter that really changed something. So I was able to overcome it.
What happened that night? What encounter?
You know, I'm not the only one in the cell.
Okay.
You know, and the other people, I just want them to sleep. So
you are waiting for them to just close their eyes and sleep off before you.
But it never happened. It's unusual. It's very unusual. And until I myself, I fall asleep. It's very unusual, you know. Until I fall asleep and just like going on trance, and you know, I see God itself. That's why all my journey, my 21 years imprisonment journey, is transformational. And discovering purpose on death row changed everything of my life, transformed my life entirely. So. At that point in time, when I slept off, just like the same way it happens on the day I was going for judgment, what I saw.
You tell me about that much later on. Okay. Tell me about this one now. So I'm really interested in how everything changed for you.
When I woke, so I had a dream.
Okay.
So waking up from that dream, I was sweating profusely. And, you know, they were like, are you...
Is everything okay
with you? I was looking at them, but I know what I saw. I was like, so I have an encounter. God was like, you are on this journey for a purpose. A lot of people inside and outside the prison, even a lot of people outside are in prison, the prison of the mind. So you are on this journey for a purpose, to be able to liberate a lot outside there. So you know, if you try to kill yourself, you find yourself struggling. I find out that they are struggling as people commit suicide. Do you know why they struggle?
Why?
It's because there is a purpose in them. There is a dream. There is something bigger than them. So there is what is struggling with death. So I struggle with it. So I woke up. I was sweating. And they were making just... Like,
say, guy.
like say, this guy never know where he did. So at the end of the day, I understand, to be able to understand that this is beyond me. It's God. So when I recognize this, I begin to, it shifts my mind. Do you understand?
Your entire mindset got shifted by that experience alone.
And never to, you know.
How did you start writing?
I, you know, I, Why? How I start writing? What really prompted it is I start writing on death row. I never believe I'll be an author or I'll ever write a book. So I start writing on death row.
Okay.
After that, those nightmare, everything going on in my life, I thought about people who have, you know, there's this saying on death row.
Okay.
There's a lot at the point of execution. If you truly commit the offense, you will commit, I mean, you will confess, God, forgive me. I know I did this, but I'm going. Because there's no, it's the last boss.
It's the last time, yeah.
So if you did not commit it, at the same way, you say, are you, this thing you people want to take my life for, I didn't do it. Do you understand? I know nothing about it. You see people crying. Do you understand me? So because that at that point, those records are taken. And from my findings, they said there are many people who have really commit, you know, been sincere to themselves. I didn't do this. So I thought more about people out there, that how many people are going to end up here being innocent of whatever
wrongly accused.
Because I thought about the trauma I suffer, the darkness, everything I'm struggling with, the hopelessness, you know, everything. And I said, let me pass, even I'm going to die here, let me pass my message across.
Let the message get out.
So I think
let your story get out.
So I begin to gather some materials to write, you know, to write and keep, to write about my story, how everything happened. So I can stand anywhere in the world and talk my story. So because I understand, I know that...
At that point, you weren't sure whether you're going to get out.
Yes,
but you wanted your story out.
So I think more of the people, more than myself. Even though I'm going to live, I'm no more going to exist this world, but I'm cut off from the world. So let my story go. Let it encourage people. Let it change people that, look, if you ever raise up your hand and slap someone, or if you ever raise your voice on someone, or if you ever threaten someone, you can find yourself on death row. Not only in prison, on death row.
On death row.
It's a very powerful message.
That book that you wrote, that's which one now?
Gifted But Caged.
Gifted But Caged.
That was his first.
That was my first
This book. Is your first book now, Gifted But... It took you how long to write this book?
Well, it took me more than, I would say, some couple of years. Because the truth is, sometimes when you write, you can't... You know, some people always ask me, how were you able to write this? You know, no materials and all that. I was like, in fact, it's just the hands of God and my strong will. Because at the end of the day, sometimes I wake up, I can't find everything I do.
Oh,
my
wow.
My work is gone.
Are you
my
serious?
Work is gone. I still have to start again. Yes. In fact, I start this work. I will finish this work. I will rewrite it and rewrite it. I can't count how many times, but I will not give up.
You just kept writing.
I keep writing till, you know, every day, like what Celsa is doing today, every day there'll be improvement. What is existing today, what Celsa is bringing to the prison today is not there some
It wasn't there
years,
before now.
Yes, some couple of years ago.
I want to talk to you about, you know, how your journey towards freedom, how it started. How did this start? Did you go back to court? Did anybody take up your case? And what happened?
My journey to freedom started when I discovered purpose, number one. I want you to get that. And we appealed the case also at the appeal court.
Okay.
So my being outside today, I thank God for everything that the appeal court were able to vindicate me. That what the high court said is not true. It's not true. Yeah. So I thank God.
You spent how many years in prison?
21. In the normal calendar is 14 years. In prison time is 21 years in prison. 21 years in prison. Total years.
That day that you wanted to tell me about, the judgment day, what happened the night before?
In the morning, we have what we call fellowship in the cell.
Okay.
You know, and me, as one of the leader in the church, we have a church in that place. So I'm one of the
leaders there.
Yeah, leaders there. So I led the church in the wilderness for like 7 years, being the pastors of the church. So in that morning, after our fellowship, I just relax on bed, waiting for my name to be called to go out for judgment.
Okay.
So, and I've been on 40 days dry fasting.
Okay.
I went on trance, and what I saw was a huge building. And I saw myself with some warders and some inmates with their blue stripe.
Okay.
And some inscription was written on their back, condemn convict. And I told the warder, I said, please, I want to see the gallows. And he said, the gallows, he said, clamp up like this and go upstairs. Just go straight. You just open the door, you see the gallows. And I went up. So the first room, I saw another group of warders. And now, please, I want to see the gallows. Immediately, they pointed at me. I went in there. I opened the door. I saw the rope, the hangman's noose. I held onto it. I said, so this is the gallows. Immediately, I held onto it just to turn back.
Yeah.
I heard my name from the door. You know, every morning the warder will come. They will call name by name each cell.
Like taking attendance.
You are going to court, listening to your name. They will call you. You have to come out.
Yeah.
I just heard my name, Idris Sani. I woke, you know, I just jumped up. And at that particular time, I know the outcome of the case.
How? I mean, you just saw the news.
Yes, I saw the hangman news. It's a message. God is telling you that this is another phase of your life. And I was like, God, why should I go through this? What is going on? But ordinarily, I decided to, at that point, after the judgment, I said, I'm no more worshiping you, God. If I can do
you, all, you gave up on God.
I gave up. Seriously, in all sincerity, I love God with all my heart. I love Christ with all my heart. I didn't worship him because of financial gain, but I gave up. I gave up totally because, one, people are waiting to see the outcome. Family are waiting to see the outcome. Even within the
community.
Confinement.
Even the prisons. Yeah.
Yes. Some people are waiting to mock. So I was just like, why will you allow people to mock me if I'm proud of you? If I'm being the
ambassador. If I've served you diligently.
Diligently. So it's a serious...
So when the judge made the pronouncement, what was the feeling like when you were set free that day?
The day I was set free?
Yes.
Ooh. It was... In fact, I know I will be set free, number one.
Okay.
But that fateful day that my lawyer contacted, that finally, this is it. I was like, I can't express... In fact, I can't sleep.
Of course.
See, the day the door was open for me, I can't sleep because it will take maybe weeks.
Okay.
Your paper will come, you know, those process, you know, is very slow in Nigeria today. So I can't sleep. Oh my God.
And listen, brother, I'd like to say congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Your story is very inspiring. You have these books out here, Lagos, Nigeria. I'm holding Valentine's books, two of them. You're writing another one?
Sure. Okay. I can't exhaust my story till I die. Writing books and movies.
Okay. Now, if you're watching, this is one of the books, Turning Adversities.
This is an infomercial.
Apologies for that. Turning Adversities into Possibilities is right here in my hands. There's another one. The first one is Gifted But Caged, A True Life Story by Idris Valentine. Where can people get these books?
If you contact me, you get it immediately.
Okay.
Delivered to you.
How can people reach you?
Through my number, through my social media.
Tell us your social media. No numbers. Your social media.
My social media on IG.
Okay.
It's I Am Valentine Sani.
Okay. Sani is with double N.
SANNI.
Okay.
I Am Valentine
Sani. All right. On Instagram.
On Facebook is Valentine Sani.
Fantastic. Jacquet, we have to go. But before we go, I need to ask you about, you know, how you're able to do this library thing. Is it self-funded or you have support from people?
Okay, that's a very, very vital information, actually. So the library we set up at the Koyi Prison and the mobile library as well is funded by Ford Foundation.
Right.
Yeah, they're the ones giving us the support, and we are so grateful for that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think I also forgot to add that Valentine is the lead of our CELSA ambassador.
Yeah.
So our CELSA ambassadors are ex-inmates who are living purposeful life afterwards to carry the message, to join us in the advocacy of getting the inmates rehabilitated.
Fantastic. Jake, how can people reach CELSA if we'd like to support you one way or the other?
Yeah, so our website, www.celsa. CELSA is C, C as in cats, CELSA, CELSIR.org, or our Instagram handle, CELSIR_. CELSIR_.
Fantastic. Jake, thank you so much for coming around. Always a pleasure to have you here. Great work that you do, you and your team, the guys in the studio. I want to say thank you to you all. Valentine, best of luck to you as well, my friend. These are my copies of the book. I don't care what you say.
we brought them for you.
Fantastic. That's our show today, Lagos. I am Sheriff Quadri. It's been nice doing this with you. Please follow Valentine, encourage others as well, and support CELSA. Good morning to you.
Thank you.
Go walk for 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.